Welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. And today we are in Luke chapter 4. So if you have a Bible, I want to ask you to take it. Let's all look together at Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And I hope that you're having a good week and looking forward to a great weekend. The topic we're going to be dealing with today is dealing with the relationship between sin and temptation. So let's look down at the text. It says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The devil, taking him up into a high place, showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world, in a moment of time. The devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomever I will give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine." When we come to this passage, we're looking at Christ's temptation. And so I want to remind you of the summary statement we gave yesterday, and then dig into this topic of the relationship between sin and temptation. Here's a summary statement. The following section records Christ's personal interaction with Satan at the beginning of his public ministry, revealing many details about the nature of temptation and teaching us that Christ can fully comfort us when we are tempted. And I want to remind you, yesterday we talked about the passage in Hebrews where it says Christ was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And because of this, we can come before the throne of grace and we can find grace to help in time of need. That passage of Scripture is a rich passage of Scripture when we recognize the fact that Christ understands by actually going through it, by experience, what it's like to face the temptations that we face living in this world. And he faced all the temptations, the full gamut of it. And he didn't only face those temptations, but he triumphed over those temptations. He overcame them. And so we see a pattern in Christ for how we should deal with this issue of temptation. So today we're going to kind of look at that a little bit. The first fact I want you to see from the text in front of us is that sin and temptation are not the same thing. Now there are some that falsely believe that temptation is sin. Folks, temptation is something that we always deal with. Sin is the response that we personally take toward the temptations we experience. Think about what the scripture tells us in Hebrews 4. It says that Christ was in all points tempted, yet without sin. In this passage of scripture, every time that Satan comes to Jesus and he gives him, he appeals to him to do something that's a violation of his Father's will, that's a temptation. But when Christ responds in submission to his Father's will, and in resistance to the temptation presented by Satan. In all of those examples, the temptation is met with resistance, with opposition, and ultimately with overcoming. Christ never sinned, though clearly he was tempted, and he was tempted to its fullest. In other words, we'll put it like this. Temptation is an enticement or a presentation of an opportunity to violate God's moral will. Sin is the assent to that enticement. So the presentation is the temptation. The submission to that enticement, that is the sin. And so when we talk about sin, we see that sin is something that takes place in our reaction to opportunity. Either I react by resisting the temptation and by submitting to God's authority and submitting to God's moral will, or I give in to the temptation, or I choose to embrace the temptation. And so really we could say that sin can be both passive or active. Passive having the idea that I simply give in. I'm not resisting any longer. I allow the thing to take place. Or actively, I presume against God's authority. And I actively plot and I actively choose. I take decisive action to sin. Whether it's passive, where I just kind of let things unfold, or it's active, I actively choose to do that, I have sinned. But sin is in the response, not in the temptation itself. A second fact that we see here is that temptation happens in the context of human weakness and opportunity. Now, when we talk about human weakness, we need to realize that not all human weakness is talking about our fallenness, wherein we're talking about our fallen nature, our flesh. When the Bible talks about human weakness, it could be talking about human weakness in the sense that we see it here with Christ. He was hungry. Being hungry is not sinful. Being thirsty is not sinful. Being weary or tired is not sinful. But it's part of being a fallen human. The fact that I get weary and hungry and tired and those things is a result of being a limited person living in a fallen world. But when we talk about our flesh, we're talking about that impulse that dwells within us that compels us to violate God's moral will. Christ did not have a fleshly nature like that. He was fully human, but he didn't have a fallen nature that was compelling him internally to sin. He was righteous, not unrighteous. And so when we think about this issue of temptation, what we see is human weakness, whether it's the physical weakness of being tired or thirsty or hungry, or the physical weakness, the limitations of being a fallen person with a fallen mind and a flesh that desires to rebel against God's authority, that human weakness meets with opportunity. It could be opportunity that's provided directly by Satan in this context, or in most situations, it's going to be an opportunity of circumstance or an opportunity of the people around us who are enticing us to go against God's moral will. So look at what it says in verses 2 through 3. He says, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, when they were ended, he was afterwards hungered. And the devil said, let's break down what we see there. First of all, we notice that there was a season of temptation. 40 days, Christ was facing the temptation of Satan. The second thing we see is that he was in a physically weakened state. He says, in those days, he ate nothing and he was hungry. That means that he was in a position where physically he was weakened and he was more, we could say, vulnerable from a human perspective to temptation than had he been in a strong position. And by the way, we've experienced this firsthand. Are we not more quickly angry and irritable, and do we not make worse choices often when we're tired and we're under pressure? The fact is that when a person's hungry, when a person's weary, when a person's tired, there are certain temptations that they are more open to, that they are more vulnerable to. So we could say that Christ was in a weakened state physically. And then we see the opportunity of the enticement, the devil said. And we see that he comes to him three times. And by the way, there's only three times recorded in Scripture, but who am I to believe that he wasn't enticed over and over and over again throughout those 40 days? It's just that those three times are the ones that the Scriptures record for us. The fact is that Satan was focused directly on Christ. There's one devil, there's one Messiah, and he's focused on causing the Messiah to stumble. He wants to thwart God's plans. And so we see that temptation happens in a context where human weakness and opportunity come together, and then we face an enticement to violate God's moral will, to go against his purposes. The third fact I want us to see in this passage, or from this passage, is that temptation happens in a process. And just like temptation happens in a process, victory will come through a series of right choices. And we see that demonstrated by the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 4, the way that Christ responds to the opportunity presented by Satan is that man shall live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Basically, what he's telling Satan is, I cannot do what you are suggesting because I must do my Father's will. And God tells me that his word is of greater importance than the food that I eat. And so the Lord Jesus Christ responds with a choice of submission to his Father's will in resistance to the opportunity or the enticement that was presented to him by Satan. When we go to James chapter 1, James talks about the nature of temptation and its relationship to sin. And it says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. He basically is saying temptation takes place in the normal set of circumstances from a person's internal compulsion to violate God's will. The rebellion that dwells within the hearts of fallen creatures is where sin ultimately comes from. And so the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have that fallen, sinful nature. He was simply a perfect human. But for us, we have this internal compulsion of rebelling against God, even from the time we're a child. But what's interesting is James goes on to say, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. It's very clear that in the mind of the scriptures, in James' mind here, we see that temptation's a process. So we have this combination of opportunity and human weakness and the rebellion of our own hearts, and it all comes together, and as we have opportunity, we respond to opportunity, which leads to a further opportunity, which leads to a further response to opportunity. And at some point in there, when we begin to take action on what we are being enticed to do, or when we refuse to resist and we passively go on with what we're being enticed to do, then the result is we sin. And sin has a progression, a downward spiral. And the end result of sin is the devastating consequence of death and destruction. And so we see that temptation happens in a process. Well, if temptation happens in a process, then it would be fair for us to assume that victory happens in process as well. In other words, when I resist, there will be more opportunity that comes, and I further resist. And at some point, as I resist, there comes a point where the temptation subsides, and I'm able to have victory over that. And that's exactly what happened with Christ. Three times, Satan brings this opportunity, brings this accusation, brings this question, and he says, try this, do this. And three times, Christ responds with resisting the devil in humility and submission to his Father's will. When we sin, we give in to the enticement. And that comes from within our flesh, that our fallen minds, a mind that has not yet been renewed like it should. And it also can come from without. When we give into that temptation and we don't resist it any longer, we lead ourselves down this road to a greater degree of sin in presuming against God. Each time Christ was presented with opportunity, what did he do? He reminded himself of his Father's authority and his Father's will. And he submitted himself to his Father's authority and his Father's will in resistance to the temptation that was being presented to him. That's exactly what we have to do as Christians. In fact, that's exactly what Paul is talking about in Romans 6, where he says we are to reckon ourselves to be dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're not to yield our members as instruments of unrighteousness to our flesh, but as instruments of righteousness to God. That means that Paul is telling us that there's a deliberation in the mind. When we sin, we are presented with temptation, and rather than recognizing our position in Christ, our responsibility to God and his authority, and reminding ourselves of the enabling that we have in Christ to overcome that temptation, we give in to it. We don't resist the temptation. We resist the promptings of the Spirit of God, and we resist God's authority over our lives. But when we resist the temptation and we submit to God's authority, and we remind ourselves of his will and our position in Christ, what are we doing? We are overcoming the temptation by the power of Christ that indwells us. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ resisted the devil, he reminded himself of his Father's authority. When we resist temptation, in some ways we are doing something very similar. We are reminding ourselves of our Father's authority and our position that we have in Christ, that we are to reckon ourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we're reminded that we are thinking creatures. We don't have to just respond like an animal who just goes on with the impulse of the heart. We can actually deliberate. We can actually think about it. We can actually make a calculation. We can actually say, I'm not doing that because I understand consequence. And by the way, this isn't just a pragmatic response to temptation. you know, for the unbeliever, they can choose not to sin and not to do something that they know will be harmful simply from pragmatic purposes. I know the consequence. I don't want to do this because it's going to be destructive. But the Christian has a nobler reason to resist temptation. It's not just about pragmatism and saying, this is going to hurt me in the end, but it's about submitting to the Father's will. It's about submitting to his lordship and his authority. It's about recognizing that in Christ, I can draw on God's enabling and overcome this temptation and conformity to his will for my life. And so I hope that this has been a challenge to you this morning. This issue of temptation and sin and the relationship, it's a deep topic. There's so much we could say about it. But I think that these things are very practical tools that can be a help to us today. So let me give you a couple practical thoughts in the end, just to kind of meditate on throughout the day. The first thing I jotted down is this. Don't be surprised when you face temptation. We live in a fallen world. We are fallen creatures. We have a heart that needs to be transformed through the renewing of our minds. And the truth is that when we become a Christian, we all of a sudden become the focus of Satan's attacks. Not that we weren't before. Not that there wasn't spiritual warfare for our souls before we came to understand the gospel. But the fact is, once we become a child of God, Satan wants to destroy God's purposes for us. And so we will face temptation, and we need to be prepared to face temptation. From without, from within, thoughts, attitudes, actions are going to be presented to us, and we are going to have to choose to do right in light of the temptations we face. A second thing I'll mention is realize that temptation and sin are not the same thing. There are many Christians who are introspective, and being introspective is not necessarily a bad thing in and of itself. It's good to be a thinker. It's good for us to meditate. It's good for us to think deeply about things. But the fact that I am tempted does not mean I have sinned. The fact is that every person, every Christian is going to, from time to time, have thoughts that pass through their mind. They say, where in the world did that come from? There are going to be situations that they find themselves in that they never anticipated. They were not trying to put themselves in those places, but through circumstance, they end up in places where temptation arises. And the fact that they have faced temptation doesn't mean they've stumbled or fallen. It's not something that should shock them. The response is where the sin lies. Do we resist in submission to God's authority, or do we embrace or passively go on in resistance to God's authority and submission to our fallen flesh? Thirdly, we need to be vigilant, especially when we're physically weak and we're under tremendous pressure. The fact is, we go through seasons where our bodies get worn down. We go through seasons where we become weary and discouraged, and we feel that we can't go on. And that is when we become extremely vulnerable. I think especially of this past year. You know, we first started dealing with this pandemic issue. Fact is, a lot of people were worried about it. A lot of people were taking decisive action because they didn't want to get sick. And they didn't want to pass on sickness. But the fact is that we grow weary of all the restrictions and all the rules and all the things we're supposed to do as time goes on. And at some point we become numb and calloused and we say, whatever, I don't care anymore. That's the natural response as we begin to grow weary in a set of circumstances. And if it works like that in a situation like a pandemic and all the rules and restrictions we're dealing with, the fact is it works that way in our own personal lives. And when we get tired and discouraged, we are open to Satan's attacks. And we need to be on guard. We need to be vigilant. And the third thing, or the last thing I'll mention is this. We need to be prepared to respond correctly to temptation by resisting the temptation, the enticement, through submission to God's authority. Victory comes when we prepare ourselves for the day of battle. You know, if we're going into a football game or a wrestling match or some kind of competition, there's going to be a game plan. We're going to train and work hard and prepare ourselves so that when we get into the competition, we have a game plan that we're going to try to execute. And our responses in the battle, in the competition, whatever it is, our responses will have already been trained through the preparation in advance. And the same thing is true in our walks with the Lord. People who neglect the scriptures, who they're not around God's people, they're not prayerful people, they're not thinking and meditating on the scriptures, they really don't put themselves in a good place when temptation arises. Their responses are not going to be measured and calculated and cautious. Their responses aren't going to flow in a direction towards submission and conformity to God's will. Their direction will be the path of least resistance. And so I want to encourage you to prepare yourself for the day of temptation. It will come. It may come today, tomorrow, but we will be tested. And when we're tested, the preparation side will have a lot to do with the response. I hope this has been an encouragement to you this morning and a challenge. This is a really good passage to think about, a lot of important truths for us to meditate on. And so let's think about these things and let's walk in obedience to the Lord. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to share these truths. Bless these things. Use them in people's hearts this day. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I hope you have a great weekend, and Lord willing, we will continue our study again next week. Bye now.